Had a little technical difficulties tonight getting started. For some reason, the live stream actually dropped out the entire broadcast sequence for tonight. But you know, we fight a spiritual warfare at all times. There's always something going on that the devil's doing. So, you know, you get kind of used to it. You don't like it, but you get used to it because that's how he is. He's always doing something to you to try to curtail the broadcast or trying to cause technical difficulties or something, but it goes with the territory. So it is what it is. All right, we're gonna get going here for tonight though. First of all, a little bit of a ginger beer here. Okay, get everything set up here, get everything lined up. Let's see here, that's straight. Let me get this straighter here, let's see. All right, let's pray for tonight. Father, we thank you for this time of sharing. Thank you for the word of God that's able to save our souls. Right now, God, we dedicate this time to you. We ask you to bless our minds to understand your word, walk therein, be changed thereby into the image of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might have fellowship with you through him via the Holy Spirit. God, these are the last of the last days, and we look forward to the time when we are away from this world and this tragedy and actually joined to you and the Lord Jesus Christ in eternity. But until then, we'll do the best we can to make it through and to be faithful in all endeavors. And God, we ask you for an anointing, and we ask you for the people to be receptive as they listen in, to understand your word, to walk in your word, and be changed by it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Right, tonight we're talking about sleepwalking. Sleepwalking. And as a reference, I'd like you also to listen to the ministry broadcast from Livestream entitled The Third Eye. The Third Eye Opened. So you can listen to The Third Eye Opened either on Livestream or at the Omega Ministries website, www.omegaministries.org, and click on Media and then Sermons and Bible Studies to gain access to the MP3 recording, The Third Eye Opening, because that message will explain a lot of what we're talking about tonight without me having to go into detail about it. So The Third Eye Open is on our website already. It's a Bible study also, about an hour and 30 minutes long, that details what it means to have your third eye opening, because that'll kind of make this make more sense if you listen to both of those messages one after the other. All right, before we get going, by way of announcements, remember May 27th through the 29th, 2016, here in Atlanta, Memorial Day weekend, the Soldiers of Light Conference. The Soldiers of Light, as we endeavor to move out into another phase of our existence here as Christians. We've got to move on now. You know, we hung around here long enough dealing with all kinds of foolishness from the devil. And it's time for Christians to move on now to another place in God. We've had enough time here to prepare and to get ready for what God is about to do. Now it's time to allow him to do it through you and me. So the Soldiers of Light Conference is another chapter in preparation for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ by us presenting ourselves sacrificially to him to prepare us for what he endeavors to do. We have to see God move in a supernatural way now, because we really have no choice. We don't have any choices left, because look at the world at large and look at what the hand we've been dealt. It's a strange time. It's a strange world. And we've got to get ready to get out of here. But to do so, we have to fight this metaphysical nightmare named Satan, overcome him to be made worthy to escape all the things coming on this planet. Soldiers of Light Conference is all about a military assignment to conduct a productive warfare against Satan and his armies. So May 27th through the 29th here in Atlanta, we'll be gathering again. I think it's close to about 180, 190 people responding so far. 80 or so say they're coming for sure, and I think another 100, 110 saying maybe or possibly. So you know, we're 6 months out from the conference, so you already got 80 or 90 people already committed to coming. So hopefully we can get a couple hundred people, 300 or 400 people in Atlanta that mean business, ready to conduct a productive warfare against the devil and his forces. Also, be reminded that prayer will take place immediately following this message tonight and every night, Monday through Saturday night at 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We have prayer, and our prayer line number is 1-805-399-1000. 1-805-399-1000, and the access code is 409-367. 1-805-399-1000, and the access code is 409-367. Last thing I'll mention is Dunamis Tabernacle. Dunamis Tabernacle is our designed vision to prepare a base camp for the military forces needed to conduct a productive warfare against the devil. This is not church as usual. Excuse me. This is about a warfare and saints prepared to conduct the warfare. This is not a commune. This is not a place for fun and games. It's not an amusement park. It's a place for you to come to be refurbished and refreshed so you can be productive on the battlefield as you war to bring in a harvest. The thing that's unique about God's harvest is not like picking grapes or fruit from a field. You've got to fight an adversary to overcome him to bring in the harvest. So you've got to fight your way into this thing, overcome the devil, and bring in a harvest for the kingdom of God. If we're producing warriors that are going to be productive in a warfare, we got to have a base camp for them to regenerate themselves and to refurbish themselves, renew themselves, and to recreate themselves so they can be productive on the battlefield. That's what Dunamis Tabernacle is all about. Omega Ministries is the overriding church framework. You know, Omega Ministries Church and Ministry Center, home of Dunamis Tabernacle, which is the actual arena where people are trained. We're asking for supporters to contribute. Last year, well, up to this point, this year is December the 9th. So we have about, if my math is right, about 22 days left in the year. But up to this point, over the internet, all contributions equaled about $91,000. And about $30,000 of that is in the building fund. But $91,000 given over the internet, which is about $7,600 a month, which is contributed by about 40 to 45 people a month. So that's what we have. And basically, you know, you can't do anything with that. So we just stand and wait for some people to actually, you know, come alive in this generation to actually do a work for God and not be spectators any longer. You know, if you do numbers and you understand that every Sunday about 1,000 people tune in and listen to the broadcast, if let's say theoretically 1,000 people gave $20 a week, that would be $20,000 a week. $20,000 a week is $1 million a year, which is not enough to do the job totally, but we could begin to do the job with that. So it's all about the mindsets of people. It's something wrong down here because there's this mesmerizing power that's actually misdirecting funds into that is delusional. And then if you come and try to get people out of the delusion, they actually marginalize you and hate you for waking them up out of a deep sleep. It's like being asleep and you're actually shook out of that sleep by a sudden jolt, and somebody just shook you awake and you were angry because they woke you up out of a deep sleep. That's what we have now in the body of Christ or in church. Is if you tell people the truth, the jolt that wakes them up out of that deep sleep is actually making them angry at the person that woke them up. It's amazing to watch it, but you know, we got basically Mickey Mouse crazy weird things, raking in billions of dollars. You know, a man asking for a $65 million jet. And nobody in that arena that supports that even flinches about it. We say, hey, let's go out here and proclaim the truth and put an end to this whole shooting match. And folks look at us like we're crazy. So folks are really paying to sustain life here and make sure this life never ends. And they're looking to have their best life now, like Joel Osteen tells them. And they really want to believe that every day is Friday, like Joel Osteen tells them. And folks are basically not looking for eternal life. They're looking to enjoy life in the here and now. And therein lies the tremendous forces we encounter preaching the gospel. People want to have fun and enjoy life and be entertained here and now. They don't want to sacrifice their lives up here and now in order to allow Jesus Christ to come back and establish eternity. I mean, look at the trade-off. Price, the gospel you're talking about might end my life. I might be persecuted and put to death, and I'm trying to enjoy my life. I mean, take into account a young woman, 23 years old, desiring to be married. She doesn't want to hear about the end of the world. She wants to hear about her husband, her Boaz, and her new car, and her home, and her two kids, and her wardrobe. She doesn't want to hear me or anyone else talk about the end of the world, the Antichrist, the scenarios that lead up to the culmination of the ages. That's basically depressing to her, because she has a plan already in mind to meet this 6'3", 210-pound man that's been the man of her dreams her whole life, establish a home, and live in La La Land or Disney World or, you know, whatever, in order to live here and be happy. And the real gospel is not accommodating my happiness. That's where the disparity is, folks. It's not about our happiness. God doesn't give us happiness. He gives us joy, which is eternal. He gives us joy that the world did not give us, and joy that the world will not take away. So finances mentioned by anybody else other than folks telling the truth, they don't bother anybody. But you are paying finances to the truth and people get mad at you. It's the strangest thing on earth, but it's all the work of Satan and the mesmerizing power of witchcraft, divination, and spell casting. So what I'm telling you is there are remnant people down here. Some of you are out there that can see the vision, which is for a 24-hour day, 7-day a week base camp. It's not about church as usual. It's about 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, a place of refreshing, restoration, renewal, regeneration, revival, and preparation, and equipping you to conduct a productive warfare against the devil. That means prayer all the time, presentations of the gospel all the time, praise and worship going on all the time, teaching, ministry, preaching, deliverance, which is casting out of demons, transformation of the mind, getting you prepared to stand like never before in the midst of austere conditions, to be a warrior for God. These are the soldiers of light, folks that are saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, and prepared to stand in the midst of darkness and to exude the light that only comes from Jesus Christ being embodied in a physical vessel. That's what it's all about, folks. I mean, the stark contrast to some of these ministries that rake in hundreds of millions of dollars every year, and they hadn't told the truth in the last 10 years. I mean, the Joel Osteens of life and the Mega Fest down there with T.D. Jakes and Creflo Dollar with Prosperity. And we go on and on with all this stuff billowing all day long. Now you got a new generation of young ministers coming forth, establishing the same paradigm of a king and queen over the church, a first lady and a pastor. And folks flock into that, young people who don't know the scheme and the con game. And it goes on and on. It's perpetrated again. The same fraud is being perpetrated again. And so you tell folk, look, it's game. They're whipping a game on you. It's the same game that's been around since the early 70s. And it's now taking on a new life. It's being repackaged. And now the diva spirit is ruling the church. And little Ahab sits next to the diva. It's the same father, mother, queen, little boy example again put before the people. And they're going for it because people are used to matriarchal people. A man that has been castrated and a dominating woman. They're used to that. I'm telling you, as a man or a woman, die to this world, get full of the Holy Ghost, and obey what God tells you to do and be productive in bringing in God's people and saving souls. Stop trying to follow all these weirdos that are trying to cook up all these schemes and play to your emotions and entertain you and make you feel good and try to establish you on earth. Their earth is coming to an end. God has scheduled the earth to be burned up and dissolved. So it's not where you focus your energy. We're living to live again. The salvation message is all about life after this life. Dunamis tabernacle. Dunamis is the Greek word for power. This is a power tabernacle. You should seek God for power. You should be endowed with power. The Bible tells you in Acts 1:8 that you'll be endowed with power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You want power because this is a power gospel. This is a power production. This is a power presentation. It's all about power to overcome the devil. The devil only understands raw, vicious power production. So what he understands, that's what he yields to. So don't get caught up, man, in the entrapments and all the things and snares the devil has for you out there. Get free, get loose, and do a work for God yourself this time. Dunamis Tabernacle, support it. www.omegaministries.org. Click on donate and support, or support then donate. Click on support then donate. I'm sorry. Click on support then donate at www.omegaministries.org. Support then donate. We just have about 45 faithful people out of thousands that hear this. Thousands. Look how many of you sit there dormantly and you do nothing. That's supernatural. That's supernatural. You see the vision. You know the plan. We laid it out in detail. You can go to the YouTube channel right now and find and just Google or search for Dunamis Tabernacle and listen to the 29-minute presentation that totally outlines the vision. The vision is on our website. Again, www.omegaministries.org. And the vision is painted there in plain detail from start to finish. Something is wrong. Something has happened to the human mind. There's something that's got folks captivated. And we're going to talk about it a little bit tonight as we talk about the topic sleepwalking. Sleepwalking. Again, I remind you, go to the website. Listen to the Third Eye Opened. Third Eye Opened. It's a complimentary and a supplementary message to this one. I won't go into detail like I did on that message, but this message will complement that one. Third Eye Opened on the website, and tonight we're talking about sleepwalking. Take a look at Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, as we talk about sleepwalking. Sleepwalking. How is it possible to be a person wide awake, but yet you're asleep? Wide awake, looking in your eyes. You look awake, you're talking, you're ambulating through the earth, but yet you're asleep. You're sleepwalking. You go to work, you commute down the highway to work every morning. You work on your job, you go to the grocery store. You walk around, you talk to people, yet you're stone cold sleep. You're asleep. And you don't even know it. You're sleepwalking. That's why when we put light in your eyes, some of you get blinded by the light because you're not used to truth. Truth and light are synonymous. When absolute truth is told to a sleepwalker, It offends them. They get angry. I told you, you awaken from a deep sleep and somebody shines a spotlight in your eyes and it makes you mad. That's what happens to a sleepwalker. The light of the truth is shined into your face and now you're angry about it. You get mad at the person that's got the flashlight in your eyes. You know that when you're sleeping, your pupils dilate. And so if somebody puts light in your eyes, it'll blind you. And when you're sleepwalking and somebody shines the light of truth in your face, you tend to kind of strike out at the person that put that light in your face. It offends you. You're mad. You're angry. Don't even know why. Why is this gospel message making you so mad? Why are some of you so irritated about what we say? Why have some of you vowed to never listen to this trash again? Your husband or wife listens to it, but it offends you. Right now, I'm in your living room and they're on the computer listening to this message and you're in the kitchen mad. You're in the bathroom slamming doors and throwing things around. You're the one that's angry all the time about the message coming across the internet. Why don't you put on something else? You're claiming to want to hear or hear something else. You're talking on the phone or you're trying to look at TV. Anything not to listen to truth, not to give heed to what God is telling you. All the excuses, you're calling me names, you're saying I'm from the country and I have a country southern accent and you don't like it. His voice irritates me. I don't like the way he talks. All that stuff. All right, I don't care if I'm talking from the country. Can you understand what I said with my country self? It's not about that now. It's about you giving heed to the truth before you're damned, before Satan is able to damn your soul. The light of the truth is offending you because you've been sleepwalking. You've been in a trance. You've been put to sleep by this master hypnotist, and now you're unable to tolerate the light of truth because it's offending you. Sleepwalking. Let's take a look at it in the Bible. Genesis chapter 3, here's the first interaction of Satan with mankind as he comes to visit Eve in the Garden of Eden. Look what he says now. Genesis 3 verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yes, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. For God does know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now I made the point on the message, third eye open. Why would he tell her that her eyes would be opened? When her eyes are already open, that she's walking around every day looking out of her eyes, so her eyes are opened. Why is the devil telling her that when you eat of this forbidden essence, your eyes will be open when her eyes are already open? He's not talking about the natural eyes. He's not talking about the natural eyes. He says, when you eat thereof, your eyes will be opened. And you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. So having your eyes open to the devil is to have the knowledge of good and evil. Remember now, the forbidden tree is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So the knowledge of good and evil, that is what the essence of the forbidden fruit is. You know good and evil. You have comparative thought introduced to you where you make your own independent decisions about what is good or evil. You don't take the dictates of God concerning good or evil. You decide what's good or evil. So if I'm a homosexual and I decide that it's good, then it's good. Can't you see what's happening to people? They are deciding for themselves what defines good and evil apart from God. I'm not taking instructions from God. I'm deciding for myself what is indicative of good or evil. I decide, independent of God. This is the essence of that knowledge that comes from that tree. That tree is producing the essence of independence. And look what Satan says. He accuses God. He says that God knows your eyes will be open, knowing good and evil. So God is trying to hold something back from you. God is trying to make you his puppet or his slave by withholding from you the fact that you could be just like him and you don't need him. All he's telling these people is you don't need God. You're going to be a God yourself, not needing him. You will be as a God, knowing good and evil. So the devil believes that knowing good and evil makes you a God. The devil says independence from the living God and you deciding what's good and evil makes you equal to God. Independence, not dependent on God. I decide for myself and I determine what is sufficient as far as everything in life is concerned. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves apron. Again, on the tape message, third eye open, I made this point. If you get out of the shower tonight and you towel off in the bathroom, standing there alone, wouldn't you know that you were naked? I mean, think about what I'm saying now. Wouldn't you know, standing in the bathroom alone after taking a shower, that you're naked standing there? How are they able to walk around every day not knowing they're naked? That makes no sense. That makes no sense. He introduces this knowledge to them, and now the Bible says in verse 7, they knew that they were naked. And I'm thinking, I'm standing next to a naked woman, and you don't know the woman's naked? There's something going on here. They've opened the door to self-consciousness, self-awareness. I'm conscious of self now. And they sew together fig leaves to hide, I believe, their sexual organs. The nakedness is appending itself to the sexual organs. So they tie the fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And an apron covers up the loins or the lower extremities. So the conscious awareness of being naked is directly appended to the sexual organs. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, where are you? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. He's been around God all this time naked, unconscious of being naked, not ashamed of being naked, unaware of being naked. And now the voice of God, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, walking through the garden, approaches him and asks him, where is he? He hides himself. He says, because I was naked. And God said, who told you you were naked? And then it went down the whole process of explaining what the devil did and what the woman did, etc., etc. Another indication of Adam's self-consciousness, the first thing he did was blame Eve. So you see, women, when you've got a self-gratifying, self-exalting, totally selfish man, you better be prepared to be thrown under the bus. You saw he was there with you and had kids with you and then left you holding the bag because he's not responsible. He's not committed because he's not even a man yet. A selfish man is not a man at all. You can't put any weight down on a selfish man. So many women have been left holding the bag because they had a fallen Adamic man who wasn't a man at all. This is a tragedy. The first thing Adam did was blame Eve. Look what he said in verse 12. And the man said, the woman whom you gave to me, She gave me of the tree and I did eat. So he said he blames the woman and he blames God. The woman that you gave to me gave me the fruit. Now you had no business giving me this woman if she was going to tempt me to do wrong. So you're to blame, God, and she's to blame. I'm not to blame for anything. You'll never get away with it, Adam. God deals with you directly. He knows what he told you to do. So you can't go to a secondary blame to blame that person for what you did. You women are getting ready to slit your own throats by joining yourself to an incompetent, selfish man who can't love you because he only loves himself. Wake up out of the deep sleep. You're sleepwalking. So you see now, he says their eyes can be opened. What eye? It can't be these physical eyes because their physical eyes were already opened. What eye? You have to understand in the human body, between your eyebrows, right in the middle of your head, is what the Hindus and the those in theosophy and Buddhism and other world religions, even Taoism and these kinds of religions, they all take heed and pay heed to the third eye. The third eye is centrally focused in the middle of your forehead. It's known as the sixth chakra in yoga. The word yoga means to yoke. And all yoga does, it tries to draw energy from the base of your spine up your spinal cord until the energy comes up and transcends the base of the spine, comes above it, and comes together and joins in your forehead to open your third eye. And so once the third eye is open, you have a metaphysical awareness. You become spiritually aware of things that are in the unseen spiritual world. So all witches and warlocks and voodoo practitioners and everybody that is dealing in the dark arts of Satan, they endeavor to open the third eye to become illuminated ones. And once you become an illuminated one, you have access to a deeper wisdom. You saw how Eve said that the fruit would make one wise. They have deep understanding of the dark mysteries of Satan because the third eye is open. Once the third eye is open, you're opening up your mind to a metaphysical world where Satan rules, and you got into the spirit world illegally. You see people making these symbols all the time with their hands. That's not about the three sixes. Some people tell you that means three sixes. It doesn't. It means their third eye. They'll put their hand over their eye like this. They're saying the third eye is open. Normally, they do it with their left hand. And it's a third eye open. You see? That's why they do that. And they walk around with those symbols up. A guy make a shot in basketball. He goes down the court talking about third eye. Like he's a wise, deep thinker. Jay-Z, Beyonce, Rihanna, Nicki Minaj, Lil Wayne, all of them do it. You know, Katy Perry, Lady Gaga, on and on and on. They're telling you they're members of the illuminated realm of society, the Illuminati. We have been illuminated by the serpentine power of Satan. Earth, Wind, and Fire sang about the serpentine power. It's all about what they call the Kundalini force coming up the spine and wrapping itself around your spine and then opening up the third eye for you to become a mystic. So you understand the deep, dark mysteries of the spirit world. Now be aware of this. Now when your third eye opens to Satan, your mind closes to God and you begin to sleepwalk through life. The Bible says, supposing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and their foolish hearts were darkened in Romans chapter 1. Thinking that they were becoming wise, they became fools, and their foolish hearts were darkened. This is why Oprah stands there and teaches you all this stuff about the secret. teaches you about all this mysticism, how to become spiritual, listening to that still, small inner voice. All this stuff is all the silly talk that's appended to New Age thinking and having the third eye open. But it's opened, not generically, it's open to Satan's voice. You're now led by the serpentine power of the devil. You just don't know it. The third eye is open, but your mind's eye is now blinded to the truths of God. And you'll see God and perceive God as an enemy. See, when you're like this, the gospel is foreign to you, even while you read out of your Bible and you say you're saved by the gospel. You can sit in church under the dictates of these spells that are cast by these mystics and have the gospel and the Bible perverted because your mind is not open to it. You're asleep to God and awake to the devil. It's a way to preach the gospel and teach the gospel that will seem absolutely normal to you, but in fact, it's the smooth, sinister voice of a serpent beguiling you and tricking you, because he's not appending himself to the truth of God's word to change you into the image of God so that you might walk with God. He's actually anchoring you to the here and now and the present world so that you'll always have your affections on the earth and not in heaven. This is the divination of the devil. He will ensnare you. He will trap you in the here and now and close your mind to anyone that begins to speak to you about eternity and things that are not having any anchor in this present evil world. The gospel projects you away from this world into a heavenly existence. The Bible says God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Our world is not here. Our life is not here. Our life is hid with Christ in God. We're not appended to this world. You are not from here. You're a pilgrim just passing through. But if your third eye is open with the mystical, magical enchantments of the devil centrally focused in your mind, anything about God and his kingdom and the lordship of Jesus Christ will offend you, and my very voice is making you mad because you still want to centrally focus on the here and now. You still want to centrally be bathed in data from here. You're trying to be wise within the confines of this world. Everything about God is offensive because God is not centrally focused on the time and space continuum here in this world. God is trying to get you to transcend time and space, to come where he is in the heavenlies and get your information and knowledge out of the Holy of Holies and not from the filthy, dirty, degraded, degenerated realm down here that Satan is ruling over, because Satan is the god of this world. Sleepwalking, stone cold dead sleep in church, in the choir, in the pulpit, doing all these religious gymnastics and stone cold sleep, mesmerized by the power of Satan, a master hypnotist, a cherubim angel that is actually perfected putting people to sleep while making them believe they're still awake. He's got that third eye under his control. Look on the back of your dollar bill. You'll find the third eye sitting on the top of a pyramid. Right there at the top of the pyramid, on that capstone, you see that third eye looking at you, the all-seeing eye of Horus, which is emblematic of that third eye in the middle of your forehead. In the middle of your forehead, you'll find a gland sitting right behind your head, right next to your brain. It's called the pineal gland. It's called the pineal gland because it's shaped like a pine cone. The pineal gland actually helps you to go to sleep at night. So you find in the Vatican a huge pine cone in the midst of the Vatican, which represents the pineal gland. The pineal gland is accessed by hypnotists when they put you in a hypnotic trance. Most of you sitting there listening to me right now, you are in a hypnotic trance and you don't even know it. I'm blasting this thing out over the internet. I'm blasting out on Sunday and Wednesday to try to get you awakened from a deep sleep. We send these messages by way of MP3, CD, any way we can to try to shake people awake from a deep hypnotic sleep. They're sleepwalking every day, all day, 24 hours a day, because the God of this world has mesmerized them, captivated them. He's got them under a trance. And we're trying to wake folks up out of that stupor they're under, wake them up out of that deep sleep, slap them upside the head, pour some cold water in their face, and tell them to wake up. Wake up. I hear a lot of messages to people on Facebook telling them to wake up. Wake up. You're in a stupor. You're in a coma. You're asleep. The devil has mesmerized you. He's put you to sleep. When you ingest and digest the words of the devil, he's hypnotically incanting you. He's putting you in a trance. His smooth words talking to Eve captivated Eve. See, the devil's words are spirit, but they're death. Jesus said, my words are spirit, but they engender life. The devil's words are spirit, but they bring the death spirit. They bring the grim reaper into your life. They put you to sleep. And the end of your sleepy state will be death, eternal death in hell, separated from God. He's divining on you through words. Hitler did it. Hitler stayed in front of the Germans in 1939 and 40 and 41, the years that he took over Germany, all day long blasting out that filthy Nazi doctrine to those folk until he finally had them mesmerized, captivated, and totally under his yoke of control to the degree that he created a whole nation of insane people willing to commit murder and call him the hope of all people. The Germans would say Hitler unto them was a god. Hitler, a short, stubby, whining little wimp with a Groucho Marx mustache on his over his lip, was able to control all those folk because he had the powers of darkness at his disposal. He had the mesmerizing ability through oratory to captivate, to hypnotize, to mesmerize, to divine a supernatural power upon people to get them to do his will and his bidding. A lot of you have been captivated by the voices of the devil. How'd he do it? The music you listen to, the movies you watched, the people you interacted with and fellowship with, sexual liaisons, people you listened to and you took into consideration what they said. The voices of the devil mesmerizing, putting you into a deep sleep, into a comatose condition. So that now if I come and tell you the truth and tell you to wake up and be accountable, you be responsible. You be the one that's going to stand before God and give an account for what you do. You bear the burden in the heat of the day. The Bible says every man must bear his own burden. You work out your salvation for yourself with fear and trembling. For the first time in your life, you have to be committed to do the job yourself. And now you say, don't put that bright light in my face. I'd rather stay asleep. So you got to find yourself a magician from the Matrix to follow and just trudge on off with him down the road or her down the road, pretending that you got God while everybody is a blind leader of the blind. Know what he said? Now you're blind, you're asleep, leading the blind into a ditch. The eyes are not open. The wisdom of God not available. The pineal gland has been opened up to the wisdom of Satan, and now your mind is closed to God. Where you ingest data from determines the outcome of your life. What do I mean by that? If I ingest into my mind words from this world, My mind will be captivated by the world, and my mind will close down to God.